and welcome to Say Pod. So Say Pod is a podcast focused on equipping Bang women with knowledge needed for them to be secure online. So today I'm here with Yajide and we're going to talk about WordPress and security. But before we dive in, please tell the listeners about yourself.
Hi, my name is Yajide Adeyi and I would call myself a thought provoker. I'm a small business owner myself and I love WordPress, and so I've moved into WordPress security as a natural progression from creating WordPress websites. I've been using WordPress for over 8 years now, so I kind of know the ins and outs. And yeah, I work with a lot of BAME women, supporting them on protecting their businesses online, mainly their websites and what they need to think about. So I do ask a lot of questions, get them thinking, and enabling them to think about the best ways to secure themselves online and their businesses.
Okay, so I think everybody knows that WordPress is a platform that you kind of use to create websites. So how would you define WordPress security? Because that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, so basically WordPress has two platforms. So you have the hosted one, which is fine, it's got its own security. But if you've chosen to go the self-hosted way, you need to think about the security tools, the practices and the processes, and basically the procedures to just make sure that you're secure in it. So that's WordPress security in a nutshell: tools, policies, processes and practices.
Okay, so I think just digging deep with what you said about the difference between self-hosting and hosting on a platform, what's the difference for those who may not know the difference?
So hosted platforms include WordPress, Wix, Squarespace, so they're managed by the companies that run them, so you don't have to worry about the security, and you know, you can just get on with it, really got it up and running. However, WordPress self-hosted websites, you have to actually buy your own hosting, and you have to install the software yourself or whoever builds it for you, and then that's where you build it yourself and also have to think about how to protect it yourself. So you have to be very aware of this.
Okay. Yeah. So why would, you know, why is WordPress security important, especially in this climate that we're in? We've had talks on WhatsApp hacks and, you know, websites being hacked and stuff. So why is it important?
I think the main thing with WordPress software is it's actually open source technology, which means that anybody can create a plugin or a theme or any piece of software for the framework. And which also means that they can edit it, modify it, and if they are, you know, how do you say it, hacker-minded, or, you know, of the mind to hack or perform malicious intent, then they can do that because the software is open to anyone who can edit and use it. And so that makes WordPress quite vulnerable in that respect. So that's why it's important to think about WordPress security.
Okay, so, you know, I think we had this discussion before we started this podcast on, you know, the Met Police. So for those who don't know, I think the Metropolitan Police had their website hacked recently, and we're just talking about, you know, these things are common, not even just the Met Police, but other companies, especially small businesses which you work with, they tend to be vulnerable to these sort of attacks. And even if it's 10 seconds, it has a huge effect.
That's
right. So what's kind of your opinion on this? Are websites just vulnerable?
Yeah, websites are vulnerable. Anything that's connected to the internet that's online is vulnerable. Okay, so I think the opinion is that a lot of people need to become more aware. It's easy to jump on a new, you know, I don't know, gadget or something like that connected to the internet and, you know, you're away. But you need to think about how it can be infiltrated, you know, your Wi-Fi systems and things like that. Even nowadays, you talk about something and then you'll realize that on your phone that same thing's popping up on your phone. So
yep.
There is everywhere. People are listening. And With websites as well, there are people who are on the web who are just observing, and they're observing where the vulnerabilities are, how you use your systems, and those kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, the Met Police got hacked. You know, there was a vulnerability there, obviously, and it was exploited. So, there is a need to kind of be aware of the vulnerabilities that surround you in terms of your online usage, and then how you can protect yourself against them.
Okay, that's quite interesting. You know, funny enough, I recently designed this kind of open platform called T-Info, and I put it on Product Hunt, and someone contacted me saying, do I have a system where if they found a vulnerability on my website that I pay them? So I was like, okay. That's as someone who's obviously in cybersecurity, that made me think, okay, what am I doing wrong? Because clearly, for you to send me that email, it means that you found a vulnerability.
They found something, yeah.
So I think when it comes to website, there's a lot of kind of keeping up with the new technology and the new techniques that's being used by hackers.
Yeah.
So for people who are, you know, this is not their everyday surroundings, what are the little things you think they can do to kind of protect themselves from stuff like this?
I think we've kind of, I don't know if you're quite clued up with security online updates are the most important thing, really. When a new version comes out of a piece of software, it's usually because a security vulnerability has been found, and then an update is created to protect against that vulnerability. What else? Login credentials as well. People are still using, you know, really weak passwords, you know, just being more aware of what's going on, and yeah, like you said, sometimes you have to actually be aware of what the hackers are up to. I can't say I'm up to date with that, to be honest, but for me and my clients, it's about, okay, how do you, so you know, generally these are the kind of issues that happen on a daily basis. How are you going to protect your business around those?
Okay, so I think we kind of jumped the gun. So let's just kind of go back a bit. Because I want to take people on the journey, especially those who are not, you know, 100% clued up with cybersecurity and what's going on in the space. So what would you say are the different types of security risks that comes with WordPress websites?
Okay, so self-hosted.
Self-hosting.
Yeah. So you have different kind of risks. You have your external ones, and then you have your internal. So I'll go through each of them. So what with external ones, you have brute force attacks. So people are just basically, it's like somebody trying to knock down your front door. Just getting knocked, kicking, relentless, just attacking and attacking. They're trying to use any username and any password. Now, initially, when WordPress, you know, opened up their software for it to be used, everybody was given the username admin. So that already
is a risk.
Yeah, that's already opening one part of the, you know, like unlocking the door. Yeah, puzzle. And then people weren't using strong passwords. So after a while now, WordPress changed it so that you could create your own username. However, there are a lot of WordPress websites that still have admin as the username. So, you know, and if your password is quite weak, kicking down the door is actually quite easy. You might as well just leave the door open.
That is true.
Yeah.
I think in previous discussions we've talked about the two-factor authentication, having various ways of logging in, as well as strong passwords. But just to recap on that, what would you say is a good password? Like the length, the amount of characters, what would you say, okay, this is a good password to have?
Okay, so there's quite a few schools of thought. I use a password manager.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of accounts to manage. I think it's like over 150 in my password manager at the moment.
Wow.
So with that, it's usually 11 characters. Mm-hmm. They say a minimum of 8, but I use 11 because I just like that number. And, you know, have capital letters and some maybe special characters as well, mm-hmm. and some numbers. Now, if I'm in a rush to create a password and I can't access my online password manager, mm-hmm. Again, it will be two different words, random, and maybe a number in between. So, you know, like monkey 78.
Well, I really hope that's not...
Nah, I don't use it. That's what I'm saying. I rarely use those.
Okay.
It's what works for you, but the password manager definitely works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you any of those passwords. I don't know them because they are very random. And if somebody was able to get into my password manager and had a photographic memory and could memorize all of them, great, that's good for them. Otherwise, what I used to do before, when I used to have passwords that I kind of kept using, you know, mm-hmm. at the same time, and then I would just be like, oh, I forgot password, and then do another. But no, the manager, for me, I believe, is good.
Mm-hmm.
However, password managers are online and can be infiltrated too. So I would never put any kind of passcodes for financial systems mm-hmm. or anything of high importance to me. So it's only like maybe MailChimp accounts or, you know, what else? Yeah, just really basic software that I can just click forgot password and change it really quickly.
Okay. So in terms of, you talked about external risks, what about internal risks?
Internal risks, a lack of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It's very big. People adopt technology, like I said,
mm-hmm.
and don't think about the risk or are not aware of it. So in the consumer world, you have smart this and smart that. I don't know how much corporations feel it's their responsibility to teach people about the devices. They like to promote them and create great, you know, adverts and publications and whatever to entice you.
Mm-hmm.
However, to educate you, I don't know if that's something that is even in legislation or anything like that.
Yeah, I think the good thing with the GDPR is kind of helps in the data management aspect.
That's right.
But I feel like I was having a conversation with a friend and I was saying that, you know, cybersecurity, especially with these products, it should be like medicine.
Yeah.
You know what the medicine does, but you also know the side effects of the medicine.
That's right.
Same way with technology, I feel like it's the responsibility for the companies to say, okay, this is a product, but these are the risk and this is how you can manage the risk.
Yeah.
However, I also feel like it's the responsibility for the users as well to educate themselves. So it's kind of a two-way street and we need to meet ourselves in the middle.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, we can't be passive consumers. We can't just, robots and we're just taking in everything. No. However, if you are seeking that, those resources out there, what you might find is that they aren't out there. So for myself, I just thought, okay, I love WordPress. I had clients who I was building for, and that's how I kind of stumbled into it, because the feeling is that they want their website built, they'll manage it, but then have no clue of the risks, and also just even the fact that it's open source technology. What does that actually mean?
Mm.
You know, until it gets explained to them. And I've seen some shocking, you know, like password systems for some of my clients, and I'm like, wait, hold on, what? And I've been going along educating myself as well. So I, you know, try and stay on top of stuff. I get a lot of alerts and, newsletters and bulletins about what's going on generally,
mm-hmm.
but also with WordPress I have like a Google alert that shows what's going on, especially with plugins and themes that are relevant. Yeah,
I definitely agree, you know.
Yeah.
Especially free things, because I know that in this life nothing is really ever free, is it?
Yeah, so again, the risk, internal risk is would be obtaining themes free
mm-hmm.
off the internet randomly, even purchased ones.
Wow.
You need to think about where you're buying them from. So you need, you know, there's certain sources. Obviously, the WordPress repository has a lot of free themes, and then you can upgrade through that way. However, even on there, you'll notice that WordPress will put a note on a theme that hasn't been updated in a certain amount of time. So it could say, oh, this hasn't been updated in 6 months. It's not compatible with our version of what's called WordPress software. So that alert is already there to let you know. So if you install it, that's your risk. But at least they've kind of put the note there for you. So, you know, that's the thing. You have to be very mindful. And sometimes we want free. As you said, not everything is free. There's always a risk. And you know, even a theme that I bought the other day, and there was a plugin, a premium plugin that was incorporated into it, and I was like, okay, I got an alert that it needed to be updated. Tried to update it, kept failing, using the dashboard that I normally use to update all the themes and plugins that I manage. And so I contacted the theme owner and I said, this is the case. I've bought this off you, so
you owe me this much.
What's the process? And then he said, you know, he advised me to delete the theme and then reinstall it, so delete the plugin and reinstall it, and it had been updated through the theme. So he had done it. So I was like, this is a bit pedantic, but at least there was a solution. Because I was like, hold on, I don't really let updates go more than 24 hours before I update. So yeah, so I was like, okay, this is...
But you know, I feel like the thing is, you took the initiative, right? Yeah. Most people in that case, especially because we're in the era of convenience, you see it's not... You're just like, oh, there's no need.
No.
But, you know, that's like the masses in terms of, like, normal people who probably don't have time, especially business owners who are doing loads of things.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that business owners with self-hosted WordPress websites need to understand. Updating is like putting up your... you know, alarm system, or your, you know, your defense around your castle. This is your property online. You know, you need to protect it. And once a update is released, right, everyone knows about it. The hackers know about it. The developers know about it. You should know about it, because within a few hours, somebody's going to be scanning the internet to find all the websites that haven't updated that particular theme or plugin and start trying to infiltrate them. Yeah.
Hey, that's... You know, I like the example that I used of the house.
Mm.
And if you have a house, to protect it from, you know, burgles, you put in security systems and you make sure that, you know, people know that this is a house that's protected and you shouldn't come in, because your picture will be taken or stuff like that. So what would you say are the solutions? Because I think we've kind of talked about the solutions a bit, but in terms of like the external risk as well as the internal risks, what would you say are your top tips or your top solutions?
Okay, so basically, know what you're working with. Yeah, you've got a brand spanking website, it's beautiful, you can sell stuff on it, you can do whatever you like on it to help further your business, but know what you're working with behind the scenes. Raise your level of awareness, and you know, if it's you have to go on a course, or you know, you sign up to regular newsletters from all kinds of organizations, even myself, just know what you're working with and understand the vulnerabilities. So you know, my website, I sell stuff on, one of them is just information only. The one that I sell stuff on, it's got payment gateways on it. Guess what, money is going through there, right? So hackers are more likely to be focusing on that one, to wait for me not to lock the doors properly, and you know, those kind of things. So again, know that once you start adding more to your website, you could attract more risk. Like I said, get credible themes and plugins. And another thing is actually to back up your website.
So when you talk about, is that having another, duplicating your website and then having a spare one there?
Yep. So I usually, for my clients, I run a daily backup. So if something happened tomorrow, I would have yesterday's backup or today's backup, depending on the time. So if their website went down, and then, you know, it would be like, okay, it's a bit, you know, panicked a little bit. But the fact that you have a backup that's less than 24 hours old or something like that is great. Yes, so back up your systems, and don't back it up right on the website. You can do it on your website, but obviously if you back up on your website, your website has gone down. You can't access the backup. So remote backup is something very important. But again, you have to protect that backup. So when I used to work for a charity, we used to actually have the backup files for the server. Mm-hmm. I used to take it home every day, bring it home the next day, so have it off-site overnight, because if there was a fire or anything like that. So that's a physical kind of one. But remote backup, normally three different places. So it could be your Dropbox, your Amazon web storage, your Google Drive. You could do it on a USB, but if your laptop, but if your laptop's connected to the internet, mm-hmm. and you get a virus, guess what?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I actually find interesting is you talking about updating it daily.
Yeah.
Because I tend to do weekly, but I've never thought about doing daily backup.
Yeah, so this is, again, understanding your business more, right? How valuable is your data? If you're selling, we're coming up to Christmas period, right? So a lot of online sales, if you sell like scented candles or something, you've done a great marketing campaign. People are really coming to get their stock from you now. They love it. And you've got a whole like 50 orders today, mm-hmm. right? And it's not backed up. So day after tomorrow, what's that? Wednesday, mm-hmm. your site goes down. And you want to make sure that you're processing Monday's orders. Where are they?
That's true.
You don't have your client's details. You could have the payment, and it depends on the payment gateway. Some payment gateways, the information, like the postal address and stuff like that, might not go through. You're just getting the money there, right?
That's
PayPal,
true.
Sometimes you can do it that way, but other payment gateways, it's just, you're just getting the funds. So where's your customer's details? How are you going to fulfill these orders?
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
I think moving on, because I know you work a lot with small businesses, and I'm sure you must have stories, obviously, anonymous, but what would you say has been kind of like your most interesting client or scenario, case study, let's call it that?
Okay, yeah, so there was one where it's a photography website. So, you know, a lot of photography websites, they take photographs for their clients, mm-hmm. And then they have kind of like password protected areas for their clients to view photos before they, you know, finalize the orders and those kind of things. So weddings, christenings, all kinds of, you know, personal
details,
and also, you know, special moments. Okay, so this website, I was contacted by someone, and my website's got a red screen. What do you mean it's got a red screen? Have you ever seen a red screen?
No.
On Google. When you go onto a website and it says, this website may contain...
We only said red. I thought the screen was actually... Then I'll be more scared about my screen than the actual website.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that kind of red screen.
Yeah, red screen on the website. So that basically is when Google has blacklisted your website, because you have so many viruses or malware on it, or really harmful malware, and it always tells you go back to the safe area, doesn't it? So I was confronted with that to help this photographer deal with it, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. So got all their credentials logged in, and then also when Google blacklists, everybody blacklists you. Like, so Yahoo, all of the search engines, you're blacklisted, right?
Wow, you're in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
Online jail.
Yeah, so, cleaned it up. Thought I'd cleaned it up. Day one. Okay, it's done. Then, within a few hours, again.
Wow. Back. So, was it like, you cleaned it up, it worked, and they were whitelisted?
No, the virus kept coming back. So it was a recurring virus, and cleaned it. It took a week to clean it up. So that's a week of not being able to access or use your business website. That's just to clean it up.
Wow.
So cleaned it up. And what had happened is that there's this thing called a back door where, again, it's not the front of your house, it's the back door. You've left it open. It might have been done by a web developer. So if you do have your websites developed by somebody else, ask them if there's a web back door. It's an administrative kind of tool to allow them to go in and help you do stuff behind the scenes if required. But it is also, if it's left open and it's found, then you can put a virus in there.
That's true.
So this virus was doing its thing, cleaning it up, kept coming, coming. Cleaned it up eventually. And then the next step was, okay, so your website's clean now. We can see it. Now you have to go and tell Google that your website's all right. So that's another process, yeah?
Wow.
So we're looking at already 2 weeks to four, you know, to how many days already that your website can't be used by yourself and even your clients. So, you know, I want to see my wedding photos, or I want to see my christening photos.
Yeah, and I think also explaining that to clients as well, saying that does make you also sound credible as well.
Yeah.
You know, saying they have a virus and they can't access, they will be scared as well to access your website.
Exactly. So, again, you're maybe losing trust, reputation and things like that. So you have to wait for Google to say, yeah, you're all right, because, you know, they don't want to put you back up and then you're back at it again, because they're likely to just ban you
for life.
So once Google says yes, everybody else follows suit.
Google is like the kingpin when I mean, I kind of knew that, but I thought Bing was giving them a run for their money.
Nah, Google, when you're blacklisted by Google, everybody else follows. So, you know, so for him, you're looking two and a half weeks of not being able to use your website, promote yourself, your clients to access it, all those kind of things, yeah?
Yeah.
So, again, if you're selling, how much do you know... See how much you make in a week, times that by two or three or however long it takes. Do you see what I mean? So
it's a lot of money lost. Yeah,
a lot of money lost. Another one, it was a children's party planning website. Oh. And then in the header, somebody had added a very explicit note. Not too explicit, but it was suggestive.
Crude.
Yes, notes on it, which obviously... children's website with explicit note at the top.
That's
not good.
that's even worse than the photography one, because with that one the policies regarding children is a lot more.
Yeah. So but it was a party planning, so mainly the parents might see. But obviously, if they do you like this theme, and then, you know, like it's a Mickey Mouse theme or whatever party, and then you see that going across, and it was on top of every single page because it was in the header. So with that one, that wasn't too bad, because you just found the file, accessed the file, the header file, and just deleted it. So that one wasn't...
Yeah, that one sounds more of a prank.
Yeah, so people can... They can do... There's all kinds of things that people can do to your website. And, you know, you've just got to be quite aware of it. And, yeah, some people don't access their website for ages. Oh, I've built it and I'll just leave it there. But then if you're trying to use that as a window or a gateway to your business, an online gateway for people to contact you or whatever, and there's all kinds of stuff going on it.
Yeah, you have to access it every day.
You have to access it. Or what I suggest is having kind of like automated monitoring tools. So like your CCTV that you have for your house or whatever. There are plugins and software tools that can be used, and, you know, I get daily alerts in the morning to tell me how many plugins are need updating for which websites, so on. Then I have throughout the day site lockout notifications, so people are trying to get in the brute force, you know, protection. I have monitoring tools that just say okay. And, you know, one time I added a payment gateway, no, a membership plugin, and
a tricky one.
Yeah, I had hundreds and hundreds of brute force attacks in that day. just going relentless. And I was quite curious about it, so I just left it for a little bit just to see.
Just to see the damage.
Like, yeah, to see what is this? And then as soon as I deactivated the plugin, it went. So now I did a presentation at a business networking event, and I mentioned that on the stage. And then this lady came up to me later. She was like, what was that plugin that you had? And I was like, oh, Paid Membership Pro. She was like, she had that. And she had it on three websites, and all of three of her websites were taken down, and she had to rebuild them.
Wow. Yeah. So it seemed like it's the plugin itself that has an issue, doesn't it?
It's the awareness, because Paid Membership Pro already, paid membership, it's money, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So that's what they were looking for. Oh, wait, hold on. I have PayPal Gateway and I've never had it that bad. Yeah. But again, there may have been some other flaws with that plugin. I just deactivated it. But the lady, she was using it for three websites.
Yeah, that's a lot. I use Stripe personally.
Yeah, I like Stripe. So I have that. And, you know, again, it's about having the secure gateways. But even on your own website, you should have like a secure certificate on there.
Yep.
Yeah, SSL certificate. And again, I was talking to another client last week, and they are quite good in terms of they use all third party, you know, they link to all these third party places. Mm-hmm. They're a charity, so okay. They use charity gateways and whatever to get paid. And we sat there and we were both looking at it, and we just thought, still need a SSL certificate just to instill trust and to make sure, make people feel confident that you actually take online security seriously, and you take their information seriously as well. And you know,
I totally agree with that. I think final thoughts, and I think this will be on the daily basis, because I think we've covered on how people can, you know, protect themselves, especially on their websites. So what would you say people can do to help reduce the security risk that comes with websites on a daily basis?
Daily backups, definitely, because as we all know, you can't protect against everything. It's not a matter of if, it's when. So as long as you've got your backups, and you know it happens, you might feel a bit of anxiety and I can't believe it happened, but it could be I can't believe it happened, but at least I've got the backup from yesterday or the day before. So that definitely, install free or invest in automated software just to monitor, so you can get alerts. Oh, somebody's trying to bang down your door. I mean, you've got these apps now that they keep showing on TV, the doorbell, where you can. That's got,
My mom loves that. She's like, Seth, now you can, you know, you're not at home, and you can on your phone, you can see who's trying to knock on your door.
Exactly. So those kind of things now, they're in the mainstream. You know, so invest in them, because you know it is worth it in the long run. And do your updates, check for them and actually do them. So you know, I check for it, go for a cup of tea, forgot, and then move on to something else, go to Instagram, see what's going on in the world, and then you've forgotten to update your website. Well, don't care if your website goes down, it'll be you that would care.
That is true. That is a true point. So I know that, especially with small businesses and being an entrepreneur myself, you just don't have the time, and we probably need experts like you, because like I said, we don't have the time. It's, you know, you're trying to focus on customer management and trying to, you know, be creative in the services that you offer. So where can people find you?
So you can find me on Twitter and Facebook under Logic to Create, and also I've just created my Instagram page. So I have one post at logic_to_create. And my website, I'm currently redeveloping at the moment, but again, www.logic2create.com, and that's T-O, not the number two, because I was told that is ghetto. So
wow, I was going to say ghetto, it kind of reminds me of old school, you know.
too colloquial. But yeah, so that's where I'm at. I'm also going to be doing some YouTube videos as well, just getting up there and for people to recognize my face and, you know, get more tips, because I have a lot to share. And I think it is important that when we build things, you know, we need to support each other in business, but also share our knowledge and help raise each other's level of awareness, especially with the online thing, because there's a lot of potential there for us to actually be successful using the internet. And you know, there's also a lot of potential to be flawed and fail yeah. using the internet if we don't know how to use it properly. So yeah, that's I think that's it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
And you know, I really like what you said, especially with the whole awareness thing, because I know in the whole, you know, BAME community, obviously Black, Asian and different minority ethnic groups are different,
yeah,
but I know that there is such, especially in the African community, there's such a drive on like productivity and customer service, and there's not a lot of focus on security, especially technology.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm really excited. Even I've learned a lot, especially with the whole daily backup. That's something I will be implementing.
That's good.
And yeah, definitely check her out and pester her for her services. And thank you, folks. Till we meet again, definitely check our website, which is sadia.org, and check our services and also our events. We also have a virtual internship coming up in January that we're doing with Moses Security, so please check that out on our website. And bye.